It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Holy cow, it's the middle of August. Where did my barbecue summer go? But I spent a lot of time on the grill, with the grill, with a bunch of friends. You know what? It's all good. It's the summer, and you're listening to Grilling Guys. I'm Jop. I'll stop bitching.
Wham, wham, wham.
And that's Barbecue Bob. Yeah.
Call a wambulance for the Jop.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the Grilling Guys. Still the smokiest show on the airwaves, and that is our resident pool boy. He bought a house with a pool, and now he's complaining about it.
Yeah, right. And didn't understand what algae can do every time it rains. And you put $100 worth of chemicals in, and it rains again, you start all over. But you know what? The old wives' trick. I put the two pieces of copper pipe in my filter, and we'll see if it works. But that's only been since the last rainstorm, so we don't have...
Well, I think if you'd stay out of the pool, you'd have less algae.
You know, the neighbor kids, and yeah, that could be. The neighbor kids and everybody come over and stir it up all the time. That's wonderful. But anyway, it's all good. We're talking about grilling. We're not talking about pools.
That's right.
But you
That's
might
right.
want you might have one in your backyard near your grill station like I do, so it's right there and it's top of mind.
Right.
But I'll
right.
leave it alone from here forward.
I've got a little somber note for the Grilling Guys Nation. Tim Sobey, our wonderful sponsor, lost his mother this week. And so our hearts go out to the Sobey family and the Sobey Nation.
Right.
They're a key part of our business. We talk about Sobey every week.
Yes,
just
we
did.
Do. Yeah, right. Exactly. I have a barbecue tomorrow for 300 softball players in a tournament in Walker, Michigan.
Is this the Swedish girls team again?
No. These are, it's even better, Bob. These are all the Catholic parishes around the city have softball teams, and they come together once a year for a tournament.
Oh.
And I am feeding them 300 hot dogs and 300 burgers.
You're going to try and take my title as the hot dog king?
All made on a Blackstone that I'm hauling over there. But all the meat, Tim is pre-pattying 300 burgers for me and sourced the dogs. So I got to swing over there after the show today and pick up all that stuff. And
well, that sounds like fun, actually.
Yeah, we're going to be catering it up tomorrow there. And then they're bringing all the sides. I'm just the meat man. So it works out good.
That's a role you gladly take,
right,
isn't it?
Yeah, right.
That's what your wife calls you.
Right. Well, no, not so much. It's the Dutch curse,
not
Bob.
So much. Yeah. Well, I want to just, I guess, relive last weekend. I catered my friend's son's wedding up in my hometown of Reed City. It was at Camp Albright, which was a camp sign I saw every day of my life because it was near our house. It's out in the country between Reed City and Everett. It's right by the golf course, and never really knew what it was until I joined a Methodist church in Lowell years back and found out that they love camping.
Oh, yeah.
Well, some years ago, they started selling off all their camps because it's wonderful real estate, and they made a mint, I'm sure.
Yep.
But this has now turned into a venue, and they had the wedding there. There was about 225 attendees.
Big wedding.
Yeah. And great family. My friend Brian Allen, his wife Mary, just they're wonderful people, but the Brian's older brothers were like legends to us young guys.
So did you cater it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Brian's older brothers were like legends. So I got to see all these guys and I got to feed everybody. And I fed them pulled pork, chicken steak, two different types. And, of course, bitchin' beans. And I tried something different with the mac and cheese, which we can go through if you guys have time. But the cool thing was I did half of my chicken one way and half the other. Half of it I did like I used to do my wings in buttermilk and then put a rub on them. And that was good. But the other half I did with that dressing, that fattoush dressing I get from Sam's Club, and it's a fantastic marinade.
Yep.
I don't care for it on salads as much as I do as a marinade.
Right.
And then I put this on top. It's called the Judge Garlic Pepper from Sobey's.
Okay.
The combination was, I mean, it was the best chicken I think I've ever made. And the people I made, I brought way too much chicken and they ate almost all of it. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. The crowd loved it.
Well, then
the
you
food.
Didn't bring too much. You brought just enough.
Well, they wouldn't stop. The crowd would not stop coming up into line. But it's so nice when everybody feels compelled to tell you how great the food is. And, you know, because that's really why people cook, right? Please people.
Right. Yep. Yep. So it sounds like it worked. Now,
it did.
That fattoush marinade, I've also served that as a dipping sauce with chicken, not cook it on there, but just as a, you know, put it in a little squirt bottle and you can squirt some of it on there. I agree with you. It's an oil-based marinade, if you will, but there's a lot of really good spices, and I don't even really know how to describe it.
I don't either. It's complex.
It comes in like a, I don't know, 24-ounce jar or something.
And it's made here in Michigan, like in Clinton Township, which is over by Troy.
Yeah.
And they sell it at Sam's Club for a steal of a deal. It's like $7 for a big jug of it.
Right.
And it's if you can't find it, you can take a typical red wine vinaigrette that you get, Wishbone or whatever, and you can add some thyme and bay leaf and lemon to it and come pretty close to it. It's really Charlie Jabor's shish kebab recipe. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just works great for chicken.
So tell me why you call your skinless, boneless thighs chicken steak. What are you doing different?
I'll grill it.
Oh, okay.
Just grill it. Because I wanted something when I had that ghost kitchen, I wanted something a little different.
So did you, were up in Reed City, so an hour, big hour.
Yep.
Put
it all in
home.
The Cambros.
Yeah, so you grilled it at home.
Yep.
Put it in the Cambro, drove it up there, and probably another hour or two later you served it because you had to set up and stuff.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Yep, and it held.
I was worried.
And that's what I wanted to talk about a little bit because you grilled it to doneness. Now, you didn't undercook it because it'll raise in temperature a little bit, but the Cambros are a great food transport vehicle. They hold things hot. They hold things cold.
Yeah, it's a cooler with racks you can slide your trays in.
Right. Yep. And when you stack in two or three trays, the heat from one another keeps all of it warm.
Right. Right.
And so they are really cool. It's more of a catering cooler than anything.
Yes.
But if you do move food around like we do, they're mandatory to have them. But I was just curious because when you take stuff off the grill, then you put it in the Cambro, and then you drive an hour, and then you know you set up, and then you're serving. That's 3 hours maybe from the time it came off the grill till it's in somebody's
that's about
mouth,
right?
Four. Yeah, and holding
and I was
stuff
worried
that
about
long,
that.
Right? And because it's chicken and they're thin, you get beans, you get mac and cheese. That stuff will stay hot all day.
A lot of mass.
Things. Yeah, and so then what you end up doing is mixing. You'll put in your meat. If say it's the chicken. A couple trays of chicken, then put in a tray of either beans or mac and cheese in the same Cambro, because that's just a heat machine.
Yep.
Those things, once you get that hot, it stays hot
forever.
And
they were skinless, boneless thighs, too.
Right, right.
So I took the poultry shears and cut half of them in half, because when you get those from Sobey, they look like they're Neanderthal chickens.
Right, yeah.
I mean, they're
big,
just so
big. Thighs.
Big.
Yep, exactly.
But I won't have time in this segment because Mr. Producer's showing us our timing left, but I want to go through what I did with the mac and cheese because I broke the golden rule and I did something a little different.
Okay.
And that also made me nervous.
Yeah.
But it was pretty safe. And as it turned out, I think that's the new way I'm going to do mac and cheese.
Okay. So let me ask you
from here on out.
Let me ask you the last question is that we have Wealthy Street and Hall Street Bakeries as our new sponsors. And this was your first catering gig with their buns. How'd they go?
People loved them. We had, of course, a lot of kids there, and there were these beautiful little girls standing in line to get hors d'oeuvres because the hors d'oeuvre table was right next to mine, and they were standing in line, so I broke a couple of them open and split them in half and let a couple sisters try them, and they were just, you know, they're starving. Kids are always starving,
right.
And they're just chewing on them, and then I had people coming up before the meal was served. Do you have any of those buns, and do you have any butter? Like, no, I have just enough for all these people.
Right. Yep. Yeah, but they're good.
Focaccia.
That's a home run. That's a home run for us.
Yeah.
In that. But anyway.
They also threw in a couple scones for the wedding party.
There you go. Coming up next, we're going to continue down this, maybe hit some veggies on the barbie. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Hall Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Join us for happy hour Monday through Saturday from 4 to 7 with 30% off brick oven pizzas and dollar off beer and wine. Enjoy your meal and drinks on our large outdoor patio or even take your pizzas to go. Happy hour deals also available at our sister location, Wealthy Street Bakery, which is on the corner of Wealthy and Union. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We're in the middle of August. Enjoy the rest of this summer. We got hopefully another month of it before the fall breaks. But anyway, it's a great time to get out in your backyard and fire up a grill. I'm Jop Peace, Barbecue Bob, and we were talking about your catering gig this past weekend, and we stopped one recipe short. So hit the mac and cheese for me.
Yeah, and shout out to Daniel and Kaylee, I believe. Daniel, I've known since he was a kid. Kaylee, I just met, but wonderful party. This kid is so nice. You want to do a really good job when people are, this kid is so polite and so thankful. So I really wanted to bring it. And so the mac and cheese is always a big deal.
Usually a big hit.
You know, they want, and I broke the rule and I did it a little differently. But here's a great tip on making big batches of mac and cheese. You have to boil lots of noodles. So when you do that, you boil them and you put them in a pan. And you take some butter and you roll them in butter so they get coated. And what that does is that fat coats the outside of that noodle and it prohibits it from. Have you ever had mac and cheese where somebody baked it and it looks like cake when they pull it out? And the
concrete on a spoon?
The noodles are gigantic, and it's because it's absorbing all the moisture. So if you roll them in butter, and butter's good for everything, right?
It's good for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I took a bunch of Velveeta and melted it down with water and added my little things. I like to add mustard and cayenne and sea salt and maybe some white pepper, and made this beautiful slurry. And then I took those noodles that were now cooling off and all oily, and I got a giant bag of shredded sharp. And I mixed it in with each pan. So it was really kind of cheesy enough. If you just bake it, it'd probably be pretty good. But then I poured all that liquid cheese on top of it and baked it that way. And it was, and I covered them when I baked them and put paprika on them, of course, just for a little bit of a look. But it turned out the top was kind of crusty because of the cheddar. You know, I put a lot of cheddar in it. And I mean, it was, you can do that. Anybody can do that. It's so simple.
And it came out so it wasn't like concrete
right,
on a spoon.
Right. You broke through the crust on top and you had this beautiful, luscious mac and cheese.
Flavor
on the
was
bottom.
Good.
So good. So anybody can do that. It's that easy.
Yep.
And I went a little heavy on the cheddar. I would do it again.
Did the cheddar get oily a little bit?
No. There was already the butter on the noodles, so a little extra oil wouldn't hurt a thing.
Okay.
And you could use any kind of grier or something like that would be good. Smoked provolone.
Gruyere, whatever. Too. You could use that.
Gruyere. I never know how to say it.
Well, it's okay.
Because I don't use
it. They don't have that in Finland. I get it.
I don't use it that much. Gefilte fish you could use.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Smoked fish. Yep.
But right. So veggies on the grill. Corn. How do you like to do corn on the grill?
You know what? I just did it on Wednesday night, we had a group of people over. There was 12 of us, and I soaked it in water for about, I just threw them in a five, I had a dozen ears is all, there was 10 of us. And I stood them on end, threw them in a 5-gallon bucket and covered them with water for about an hour before I was ready to grill them.
About an hour.
And then I grilled them with the husks on. And the water, it creates a steaming of the corn. And I just, and that was on the tech.
So isn't it nice how so easy that is?
Right. I didn't have flame, so I wasn't worried about flame up. But I maybe rolled them every couple minutes and did about four sides, you know, just a quarter turn. And then they were hot. And you could tell they were steaming out the end where the silks
burns the silk off.
Right.
And it browns up and curls up the outer couple layers. Right. And that's when they're done.
Right.
Because you still have like 3-4 more layers
and,
of green.
And you got to wear gloves. I mean, like thermal gloves to peel them because they're hotter than hell. But at the end of the day, it's just a neat way to do it. And then I took we do probably not the most etiquette way, but I put sticks of butter on a table, lay your corn
absolutely.
In it, and roll them.
Absolutely.
And then you end up throwing the butter away at the end because it's all, you know, melted all over the butter dish.
You don't give it to the dog?
No. I'm the one that has to clean the yard. So, no, I don't give it to the dog.
Well, we've always had a butter dish. My wife has one specifically for corn. I think etiquette is out the window. It's corn on the cob and it's summertime.
But I don't serve a knife with the butter. I just set the butter out there. You lay it on there, roll it, and you're good to go.
Very hygienic. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Now, if you've bitten into the cob, don't be doing that.
Right. It's a non-biter.
That's like double dipping.
Yeah, you don't double dip celery in peanut butter either, right? Yeah, I mean, come on.
So another way you can do corn on the grill is just to oil it down with some nice EVO and put your favorite seasoning blend on it and roll it over a medium to lower medium grill and let it get kind of blackened in a few spots.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good presentation. It looks very good.
You got to be careful not to dry that out. That's a quicker cook. I've done it in trying to get that color on there.
Yep.
And then the kernels are gummy because I dried the moisture out of them.
Stayed on too long.
Yeah.
And you don't have to leave it on real long. And if you don't roll it a whole bunch, you're okay too, because then you'll get a few spots that are a little dark. And that's all you really want.
Yep.
And make extra, because whatever's left over is fantastic for salsa.
Oh, yeah.
Roasted corn and salsa and black bean. I mean, fantastic combination.
Cut it off the cob and you're good to go.
And then, of course, you can do cooler corn where you just put it in a cooler and you pour boiling water over it and leave it in there for 20 minutes.
That's with the shucks on too or off?
Yep. Well, either way.
Right.
Either way. If I'm going to do cooler corn, I'm probably going to shuck it.
Yep.
I always do, actually. I don't.
And a big long set of tongs.
My daughters,
you know, you don't want people to
me.
Reach in there and grab one because it's hot.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
Right. It's hot. So
you'll fill up a platter at a time and then shut the lid on the thing, and it keeps them nice and warm. And I mean, I go out to Heidi's, which is on exit 52 on I-96 in West Michigan, and it's a fantastic farm market. And they're. Right. They're cookies and cream, I think.
Yeah,
they call
the white and yellow stuff.
Oh,
that's the best kind.
It is so
good. For me,
good.
Anyway. Yeah, that's
so good. And I love it. Yep. I love it.
Yeah.
And that works with, I'm doing this intermittent fasting, and that works with that because you can basically eat whatever you want between 10 and 6. So that's okay. But that's probably, those are probably my favorite ways to do them. I think the easy way, like you did it, is so nice, though, because who wants to be the one to have to shuck everything? Well, of course, on the other side, you don't have – when you do it the way you're talking about, the best way is to leave a little end on that so you have a handle, and then you peel back all the shucks and let them go over your hand, and then you just leave it all attached to that cob so you don't have a big mess at the table.
Yeah.
If you try dressing it at the table – Your guests are going to have a mess.
Our friend Chaz, the Baritone of Beer, who co-hosts when Bob's not around, he makes margarita corn.
Oh, yeah.
And that went just a topping.
Yep.
Right? And that's really good. And, you know, any margarita mix, not a wet one, but a dry one.
Yep.
Right? And you sprinkle it on there. That's really tasty, because corn can be just corn and you can dress it up a little that... you know, Mexican corn with cheese on it.
And mayonnaise and then parmesan and paprika.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's really not my favorite.
No, it's not mine either.
I don't like mayo.
We grew up eating traditional corn on the cob. But anyway, there's a lot of extras that you can do on corn and just to jazz it up a little bit. Seasonings are predominantly what it is. But Bob, a couple weeks ago, we were out to your house. I think we were swapping grilling equipment or something, and you gave me a bunch of tomatoes. So I'd like to talk about what you do with all the tomatoes this time of year. You're listening to Grilling Guys, Grilling Network, whatever we are. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit GarrettsAppliances.com. That's GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. You might have heard that at the end of the last segment. I missed all of that. But
don't forget the Michigan Talk Network and WBRN.
Right.
Yep. And, of course,
on a podcast near you.
Jethro Network.
Yeah, all of that. But anyway, we're talking about vegetables out of the garden, and this is the bounty season right now. The next 3 weeks are you're going to be, if you raise a garden or you can go by a farm market, everything that's wonderful from Mother Nature is coming ready right now.
And that philosophy that I have used for decades, and eat as much as you can while it's fresh.
Oh, yeah.
This is the time. You know, binge on that stuff. I'm tired of zucchini. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Right, yeah.
But I never get tired of tomatoes.
Nope.
And I'm growing tomatoes that you wouldn't believe. I mean, they're just every day I have to pick them.
Yep.
And my neighbor's jealous, and he's the one that gave me all the starts.
Yeah. Yep.
But
they need sunshine. He's kind of in the woods.
The cool thing that I learned from a chef in Chicago when I was doing, I was at Backyard Barbecue in Wilmette. Danny did these cool classes all the time, and I used to participate. And he brought in this chef one time, and we put some took big, beautiful beefsteak tomatoes and cut them in half and then set them up on the grill, on the smoker, actually, and put a little sea salt on them, and then mounded up blue cheese, crumpled blue cheese on them, and smoked them. And then we served those to the guests. And I'm laughing because of the faces Randy's making. He helped himself to some seasoning. That's what happens when you stick your finger in something.
Anyway, smoke me.
You put that. You put the crumpled blue cheese on the cut part of that tomato.
Yep.
And you smoke it on there, and then you present it on its own little plate, and it's just very cool looking because people have never seen this before for the most part.
So for those that don't like blue cheese, gorgonzola cheese, can you substitute? Because
you can do what you want, but this is the way that I do it. And
I love it, but if you don't tell family members that won't eat it.
If you don't tell anybody it's blue cheese, they'll love it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
But the cheese kind of melts down a little bit, and it gets brown from the smoke.
Yeah.
And it's just cool looking. Yep. And you just tell them it's cheese.
Right. Yep.
See what they think. But that's a really nice one. So you are going to get a lot of extra tomatoes now, and I have a neat little trick. There's this great guy north of my little town of Lowell on 91. It's about 5 miles north on the west side, and he has this fruit stand in front of his house on the way to your old house.
Yep, yep. And I know what you're talking about.
If he's not out there, you can just put money in the tube. It's really cool.
Yeah, he's not on 91. He's right there on Lincoln Lake.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, it's Lincoln Lake.
Yep.
He grows the best tomatoes, and his peppers are like the size of a cantaloupe.
Right.
This dude knows how to grow food. He's really a cool guy. But last year, I bought a bunch of his tomatoes at the end of the season, and he even let me pick the ones that he passed up on. He gave me those for free. He says, well, I'm out, but you can go up in this lane down here and you can take all you want. and I loaded up.
Stuff that's left on the vine, maybe not a perfect shape.
Right. And that's it. Maybe overripe. But here's the deal. I was going to make sauce anyway.
Right.
And what do you want? You want an overripe tomato anytime you're making sauce because it's peaked out in its flavor. And you're going to get a way better sauce or canned tomatoes from that.
Right.
I don't can tomatoes. I buy Hunt's.
Yeah.
They're too easy. I like their roasted tomatoes. But if you're going to make like a bunch of salsa, so he's got these beautiful peppers. And then, of course, I always stock up on Vidalias. I have a year's worth in the fridge at any point in time.
Right.
And
they keep well if you keep them cool.
Yep. And so I'll roast up the peppers and I'll do, he also has jalapenos. Any farm market does the same thing, right? You get your jalapenos, your colored peppers, onions, whatever you like to put in your salsa. I'll dice up some celery at the last minute, but I will not smoke that. But I'll smoke the peppers and the tomatoes, and I mean like trays and trays of them. And then you set them on the tray, you let them cool down because they're going to bleed a little bit. And then I just put them in a big bowl, and I take my my blender, whatever
like
type.
Immersion blender.
You can use that, or you can throw them in the big one, whatever you like. And you just grind it right down, and that's great for salsa or for making your tomato paste or sauce.
So are you leaving the skins on the tomatoes?
Yep. Absolutely.
After they've been cooked, they soften up a little bit.
Absolutely. That's got all the vitamins in it.
Yep.
So don't get rid of the skins. It's crazy. It's foolishness.
Yep. Core them a little bit and get the top off.
I don't even core them.
Really?
No. I cook that stem down. All that stuff has nutrients in it.
Yep.
And by the time you put it through the blender, you know, that's just like cabbage. When you're making your coleslaw, I used to always core the coleslaw. And I was at Big Bob Gibson's down in Decatur, Alabama, and Jeff was the manager at the time. And I said, what do you put in your coleslaw? Do you have horseradish in this? And he goes, no, that bitterness is the core of the cabbage. We grind that. And so it's kind of like horseradish. So if you like a little bit of that kick on your coleslaw,
right,
take that core out and then throw it in the blender.
Little zip.
That is it.
Man.
And it's nutrients.
Cool.
You bought it.
Yeah.
You grew it.
So cucumbers might be coming a little bit toward the end of that season. They're an early veg coming out of the garden. But you always make these things called sun pickles.
Yes.
And it's such a simple recipe,
it
turns out so awesome.
I love them. Have you made them yet?
But no,
I
haven't. Because it's just Lisa and I, and, you know, I mean, that.
Here's the beauty of it. You can make two little jars at a time. You
really?
Don't have to make a giant batch.
Yeah, I thought it was like, you know, a couple gallons of them or something.
No. You can look at this recipe. It's on thegrillingguys.com. Our sponsors are all on that site as well. You can look to the right and you can find a link to them. If you want to stream Jethro live while we're on, let's say the signal's not what you need, where you're at the time, you go to thegrillingguys.com, go to the bottom of the page and look for Jethro Live, and you can stream us. You can get the podcast there as well. But this is called...
Sun Pickles?
I think that's just under Sun Pickles. But my friend's wife, Tony, up in McBain, Dave and Tony Naderhood, they used to own Positive Chimney up in Cadillac, and they're just wonderful people, and Tony is a riot. And she's a fantastic cook. And she gave me some of these when I did a grilling demo for them years ago. And I love pickles. And I went nuts instantly. And she told me how she did it. And I've been putting this recipe on the site and talking about it every year this time.
Yeah, you
got to
give credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, and she's just such a peach.
And a great pickle maker.
Yes. So basically what you're doing is you're making spears out of your cucumbers.
Okay.
And if you get those cucumbers that got too big and they have too much seed and gelatin in the middle, you can still make spears out of them and then just scoop a little bit of that out if you want. But if they do get that big, your rind is going to be kind of tough. I'm dealing with a few of those right now. I can't pick my cucumbers fast enough. They grow every day. It's So it's basically white vinegar. You can use apple cider vinegar if you want. And then here's the key. Pickling spice. It's the best thing McCormick's ever did.
Yeah.
One of the best things. You get some hot peppers, dill heads. You want fresh dill.
That makes
the key.
A big difference.
You slide them all in there. You make up this brine with kosher salt, water, garlic, and you put them all in the, you stand them up in the jars, beautiful, just like Vlasic does, and then you pour your brine over it. And this is the cool thing. You put your dill, your fresh dill on top or in the jar. I usually put it down in the jar with the pickles and then slide the pickles in and pour the brine in. On top, you cut a nice thick slice of rye bread and you cut it so that it'll fit in there, or you just stuff it in there, whatever you're going to do. And now, Jop, here's the best part. Now's when you can use that aluminum foil.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
I put tin foil on top, and I set them in the sun
right.
for 3 days. These only take...
So the foil keeps the bugs and stuff out.
Yep.
Maybe a rubber band around it or something, so it doesn't blow off.
And that rye bread, don't put too much, but you got to put a decent amount in there. That rye bread will be disintegrated by the end of the third day. And if it's not, when you pull that foil off, just pop the rest of that bread off and chuck it, and the dog won't bother with it.
Right. And then the rye bread does what?
Something.
Gives it some sort of rye bread flavor.
It's just some sort of chemical reaction, and it's fantastic.
All right, I'll have to do
that.
But
then you have to refrigerate them.
Okay.
Perfect.
Coming up next, it's one of our board of directors, the Cajun that we all love, T-Gid. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, this is Jop from The Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them The Grilling Guys sent you.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in. We're in the final segment and we've saved the best for last, Bob.
That's right.
Ooh.
We have, you've heard of the big hurt and the big this, and this is the big sexy right out of Lafayette, Louisiana. T-Gid, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Man, y'all blowing me up, man. Yeah. I don't know if I deserve all that, but I'm glad to be with y'all.
Likewise. Just wanted to chat with you a little bit. Up here in the north, being that you're in Lafayette, up here in the north, our vegetable season is peaking right now. Everybody's garden is just producing anything and everything that's in there. And we're always looking for the best way to prepare vegetables. It might be a little different, a little tastier, or just have another little cultural flair. So we thought we'd dial you up, man.
Yeah, and what I'm wondering is, do you get chased out of the garden by a gator?
Gators and snakes, baby. Water moccasins. You got to watch them water moccasins.
Yeah. Yeah, they're quiet.
Yeah, no, actually, we're in the dog days of summer down here, and we had a cool front that passed through, and the humidity is back in below 50, but it's a brilliant 94 degrees, so it's still a little stymie over here, bro.
So tell me what vegetables you like to do on the grill.
Oh, man, it's my wife's favorite thing that I grill is her vegetables. I think my favorite, and I think she would agree, is two things. One is Brussels sprouts. What I like to do is get a black iron skillet, put it on the grill, throw a little butter or olive oil in there, cut the Brussels sprouts in half, like long ways, and basically pan fry them just to get a little bit of a little Maillard effect on them, a little crust on it. Don't burn them, just to kind of get a little blackening effect. And then we throw in some seasoning. Of course, we like our extra Cajun seasoning that we do. But if you got salt and pepper and you want different herbs, a little maybe dill weed or a little oregano or whatever, nothing too much. You want the flavor of the Brussels be the prominent flavor. And then what you do is you plate it up, you drizzle some honey over a plate, and you put the steaming Brussels sprouts on top of that, and then you take some crumpled either goat cheese or some feta cheese, and you put that over that and let it just kind of steep out and soften up, and then you top it off with crumpled bacon bits that you've already grilled over the fire before you even started, and you let it get real crispy and just crumple it up. I'm telling you, that's probably one of our favorite vegetables that we grill.
So you got the honey, which is sweet. You've got the tangy cheese, and then the salty savory bacon. Man, that's making my mouth water just thinking about that.
Now, what? That sounds just like the way I had it recently, except my daughter-in-law actually put the cheese in while it was in the pan.
Yeah.
And just shut everything off and let it sort of park and coast. And that cheese melted beautiful. And she's always using yogurts and all kinds of things. She's a very healthy kid. And that, I went nuts. That cheese, you're absolutely right. That cheese added just a kiss. That was something else.
Oh, it's just like this, like you're saying, it's a savory, almost like a velvety, buttery type of flavor.
But the honey's honey's a nice touch too, though. That's really different.
And I'm not a huge honey fan, but let me tell you, when you grill with honey, and you don't like just eat it right away. You let it just kind of do its thing with the hot food. It doesn't taste like honey. It's just a beautiful sweetness that, and when it's at the bottom and you're serving it to your guests, they don't know it's there. So they it's a surprise to them. Where's that sweet coming from? And, you know, if you want to jazz it up a little bit more, you can make like a balsamic type of glaze, and you can drizzle it over that just to give it a little bit more of a bite, you know, and we've done that before.
So, T-Gid, question for you on that.
Yeah.
I've got a party to go to where I'm supposed to bring an appetizer for 30 people. Now, Brussels sprouts don't rise to the top of appetizers, but prepared like that, and just put two or three of those on a plate. Will that travel? I've got skillets up to 24 inches, right? So I can do it in a single layer, iron skillets. But would that travel if you made it at home and took it somewhere that's 20 minutes away and then served it? Does it have to be hot when you eat it, or can it be cooled down a little bit?
No, I think it could be cooled down. But just like anything, when you're grilling vegetables, it's best right off the grill.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, anytime you have whether it's tomatoes or mushrooms or zucchini, squash, you know, which we love all that, the shish kebabs, you know, with all the vegetables I just mentioned, we love that. But, you know, it's coming right off the grill, you know, straight onto your plate and then into your mouth. It's just the best part of it.
I think if you didn't overcook your Brussels sprouts and do you have a lid for that big pan?
No, but I mean, I think foil is all I'd put on it.
Lodge sells them to match that. You could order a lid for that. And I think if you didn't overcook, you know, you slightly backed it off, I think you'd be all right. But I'm wondering, do you use Tupelo honey?
Well, I mean, we use Carmichael's, which is a local beekeeper here in Louisiana.
Okay.
And Bernard's is another one. It's all... You use whatever you like, and normally whatever's local is the best honey.
So let me go through this again, because I wasn't writing it down. I've got the Brussels sprouts in the pan with the Cajun seasoning. I crisp those up, and then do you take them out and put the honey in the bottom, or do you drizzle the honey over the top of them?
No, the honey goes on the plate. It never makes the pot.
Oh, okay, so it goes on the plate. You take them off,
honey,
plate them.
Just drizzle it onto the plate. Come back on top of it with your... Now, if you're doing it like a dish, like you're saying, you go on as a... And that's going to be your little side dish that you're contributing to the party. You know, you could definitely put it in the pan. I would probably take them out, all the vegetables, and then put the...
honey in the
put
pan.
Put the honey at the bottom, and then put your Brussels sprouts back in, then add your cheese. And like Bob said, I mean, of all the vegetables you could probably grill and then bring to a party out and eat hours later, this probably would be the best, because like Bob said, if you don't cook it all the way to complete doneness and it still has a little bit of a crunch to the Brussels, you could always take that skillet with all your ingredients after it's cooled down to room temperature, stick it in their oven, bring it up to serving temperature, heat it up for about another 15, 20 minutes at 350, and it'll marry all them flavors together. So I think you'd be all right.
Yeah.
What other vegetables you like to do?
Well, like I said, the vegetable kebabs are probably our second favorite. I mean, you get some fresh zucchini and squash and some baby Bella mushrooms and some cherry tomatoes, and you just kind of roll them around in a bowl with some olive oil and then skewer them up on some bamboo skewers, and you grill them over a direct fire. And again, you don't cook them to where they're just like the tomatoes are mush. You just want to put a good sear on it, because I like my vegetables still with a lot of crunch. My wife, on the other hand, she likes the saute down to almost like a mush.
You might want to throw some Vidalia onion on there.
Oh, yeah, and you could definitely put some onions in there. Yeah. You could even throw, if you want to bring a little bit of protein into it, you know, shrimp works really good with those vegetables.
Now you're talking.
Yeah. Yeah, because
you got Randy's attention all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah.
He was dozing off, and that got him.
No.
We'll get that up.
Yeah, right. Hello.
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, or if you don't want to do the shish kebabs, man, just grilled, cut long ways and like wedges. Grilled zucchini, grilled squash, it's always a favorite of ours, as well as potatoes. You know, it's probably the most underrated vegetable out there. And what we do is we cut them into like quarter-inch thick, whether it's a Idaho, you know, baked potato, or if it's a red potato. But you cut them into a quarter-inch slice, pretty thick, not too thin. And you glaze them in a bowl with some olive oil and some seasoning. You put them on the grill, close the lid, sear it, get a good sear mark on it, flip it, which takes about a minute, flip it, and then have the cheese ready to go. And then you can put like some Munster cheese. You can put some Baby Bella Swiss cheese on it.
Yes.
Whatever your favorite cheese.
Yes.
And then after you flip it, put the slice of cheese on it, close the lid, let it sear for another minute or two, and pull that off, and what great appetizers.
And Jop, if you have a Cajun grill like mine, it holds your, wait for it, Dutch oven.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly.
It does.
Yeah.
It's designed that
Jop,
way.
Jop, he loves Dutch ovens now, right. But he busted my chops for a while on it because I kept talking about my Dutch oven.
Right.
And he's Dutch.
Yeah.
I'm not even Dutch.
Every third recipe was a Dutch oven recipe for a while, but we're better now.
Okay. T. Gidd, we love you, man. And I hope I get to see you here sometime in the near future. We keep talking about it, and I guess I'm going to have to come down there because you ain't coming north. There's no more bounty on you.
I need to make a pilgrimage up there, man. I mean, let's wait till the weather breaks,
right.
And we'll make a trip up there, man.
We're out of time, brother. Love you.
You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill, create a little grill envy in your neighborhood. See ya.
See ya.